Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Olive. We're so happy that you joined us today. You know, right now we're scattered, but the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is there in the midst of us. And today we gather all over the world to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So wherever you are this morning, wherever you may be joining us from, welcome to Olive.
Hey, Olive family.
We miss you and we can't wait to be together again.
We're still the church.
Hey, church family, we are so glad you are here.
Hey, Olive kids, we sure do miss you in these empty halls, but we're glad you joined us this morning.
Hey, church family, we're so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning, Olive family, we're still the church.
Hey, Olive family, I sure do miss you. I can't wait till we're all together again at a place called Olive.
Good morning, church family. Join with us as we worship today. Let's put our hope and our trust in Jesus. All my troubles seem so tall. All my faith just feels so small. But I will sing through rise and fall. My hope is in the Lord. You chase away my fears with peace. You calm the storm inside of me. Amazing love, how can it be? My hope is in the Lord. Oh, my hope is in the Lord. Like a river flowing, let it break and open. Rushing wild, it's always free and strong. Let my heart remember, I am yours forever. There's no rushing wild, it's always free and strong.
Let my heart remember, I am yours forever. There's no end to the song, no. Like a river flowing, let me break it open.
Rushing wild, it's always free and strong.
It's free and strong.
Good morning. My name is Mary Kreinhop, and I am here to share with you that
We have been very, very busy making masks. Our group started with 4 and has evolved into about 20 volunteers. So far, we have made about 2,400 masks. We've spent well over 1,000 hours between collecting fabric and delivering masks and the sewing and ironing and the process itself. We've been involved in providing masks to first responders, to doctor's offices, to nursing homes, to assisted living areas. We've tried to provide masks to the Sunday school classes and to our neighbors, to the garbage people, to the mail people. Everybody that we've seen, we've tried to provide masks for. One of our big projects starting last week was to provide masks for Florida Baptist Disaster Relief. A call was put out that they needed 1,000 masks, and we got busy doing just that. Again, I just want to say thanks to all of you who have donated already. We have used your donations properly, and we ask that you just continue to pray for us and let us know how we can help you.
Good morning, Olive family, and those that are joining with us today for this worship time. Grateful for those that I'm calling the mask makers. They've been really helping some people, and if you can help them, as you've just seen on that video, then be a part of that. Just yesterday, we had a phenomenal giveaway of food from the Ministry Village at Olive. Tonight, we're going to have a great hymn sing. Hope you'll be back with us here at 6 o'clock. It'll be a great time. We're still the church. It keeps going and going. Ministry never stops. And so we want to welcome you and thank you for being a part of our worship time as we gather together online today. It's the first of the month, and so really need you to be faithful with your giving. Thank you, Olive family, for your faithfulness during these last weeks. You have been absolutely phenomenal. We've just gone right through, and you're a faithful, faithful people. So thank you for sending those envelopes, going online, dropping it by many ways that you've done it. But thank you. We are still the church. Not long from now, we're going to be back in this place, and I'm looking forward to seeing every one of you. John, thanks for leading us today. Look forward to tonight. Going to be a great time as we gather online for that hymn sing. I'm going to do a little singing myself, so we'll have a great time together. Join us as we lift praise unto the Father.
That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free.
We belong to Jesus. We can never be taken or snatched out of His hand. He is holding on to you, holding on to me. He has chosen us and redeemed us and restored us today. So let's rejoice and sing that truth together. Come on, sing it. I'm chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am.
Sing this. And how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Sing it again. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen, John. We'll be singing those hymns tonight as we gather back online 6 o'clock. Looking forward to you and my wife, Robert Lloyd, and some others that will be joining us. And I'll be here reading the Word, singing along. Hope you'll come back and be right here tonight at 6 o'clock. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 29. And while you're finding that, I want to encourage you that this coming Thursday, I want you to come to our campus, not to be in here, but to be on the back sports fields as we gather for the National Day of Prayer. We're going to have tents set up all over that sports complex, and you can come and gather on those tents, be 10 or less chairs that will be there, and you can gather from 10 o'clock on Thursday morning until 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, so Thursday the 7th, 10 o'clock, until 2 o'clock, you can gather with us out here. You don't have to stay, of course, the whole time. Come stay 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Maybe you gather some of your connection group to come and be a part on the National Day of Prayer this Thursday. It'd be a great time to get some people together, friends, and just come pray. Also, Chef Bob's going to be there. You can buy a lunch around 12 o'clock, and he's going to have some hamburgers, hot dogs cooking out on the grill, and you can buy that, take it with you, go out in the picnic area, eat. But we're looking forward to a great day. If ever America needed to have a National Day of Prayer, it's this week. So you join us as we gather together this coming Thursday. I'm looking forward to being there and seeing many of you as we pray together. This morning, I want us to go to the 29th Psalm and share a message that I've simply taken out of this text where it says it over and over and over again, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. We're going to talk about God's voice speaking into our heart today. David writes in Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9, these words. You follow along as I read this now, is the word of our great God. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Siren like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says, glory. Everything in the presence of God says, glory. It is the voice of the Lord. No doubt in your life, just like mine, there are some very distinct voices. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. If you had a mom that loved you and does love you now, boy, there's no voice like Mother's voice, amen, that speaks into our soul. When she speaks, I know immediately that my mother has said a word to me. They're very singers. When you hear their voice, you know immediately who that singer is because they've got a voice like no other. It captures you. There are TV personalities that you hear that voice and you say, oh, I know that person. I know her. I know exactly who that is. Even without seeing the face, you know them from the voice. Well, dear friend, God has a voice like no one else. When you've heard the Lord's voice, He does not hiccup. He does not stutter. He does not stammer. God speaks straight into your soul. And David heard the voice of the Lord. He likened it to a thunderstorm, I believe, as it is rolling through. We've had a few of those of late when that front would come through and it would rumble and get louder and louder. And then the lightning would come and the wind would roar, the hail would fall. And we hear it again and again that the voice of the Lord, it's upon the waters. The voice of the Lord, it thunders, it's powerful. This text says it's majestic. It breaks the cedars. It makes Lebanon skip. It hews out flames of fire. It shakes the wilderness. It causes the deer to calve, and it strips the forest bare. Oh, the voice of God is majestic. It's glorious. It is powerful in our life. And I believe that God's going to speak into your heart today. I believe His voice is speaking during this time of pandemic. There, if you have an ear, you should hear what God is saying to you. Jesus said it over and over and over. When He would give especially a hard saying, He would give it to us like He did in Matthew 11 and verse 15. He would say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Do you have ears today? People are born with ears. Often people say you got two ears and one mouth. That ought to tell you something. You ought to listen twice as much as you talk. But you've got ears. And if you've got it, just matter of fact today, if you're sitting there all by yourself, just reach up and grab your ear, wouldn't you? Do you have ears? It's not enough to have ears. If you don't, then listen. If you've got ears, let him hear what the voice of the Lord says. What is God saying today? I want to share with you four voices, four calls, if you will, that I believe our Lord is making in our culture during this time of pandemic, but these supersede that because before coronavirus and after and during, I believe God is calling out to all of us around the globe. How does He call? What is the voice of the Lord saying to us this day? First of all, I'd submit to you that God calls sinners to repentance. He's reaching out to sinners. Now, the Bible says we've all sinned. That includes this preacher today. That includes you as you're watching. All of us have sinned and we've fallen short of God's glory. And God is calling sinners to salvation. He's saying, come to me. Come to me. He that's got ears to hear, let him hear. And God says, come and I would save you. Listen to the word of God in John 10, verses 27 and 28, where our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. There it is, the voice of God. And I know them and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. God calls today. And he says, I know my sheep. He knows you. And he calls you and he says, come to him. God would save you if you would call on his name. Two illustrations out of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts that we find. When the apostles are doing their work, Lydia is first. And we find her over in Acts 16, 14, 15. And she is there, and the Bible says that she was listening. She was a worshiper, but she was listening to God. And when God called Lydia, the seller of purple is the way that she is shown to be in the Word of God. When the seller of purple heard the Word of God, then she gave her heart to Christ, and she was baptized. She asked the Lord to save her. When God moved her heart, God drew her unto himself. He called Lydia out of her sin and into salvation. She had ears to hear. Well, when you move on through that 16th chapter, you find that there is a little girl. She's demon-possessed, and Paul and Silas deal with her, and the demons come out. Not everybody rejoiced because some people were misusing her and abusing her to make money off of that demonic spirit that was within her, and they wound up in jail. And while they were in jail, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were singing hymns at midnight, and the door came open, and we come to Acts 16, and we find it that when the jailer woke up, he saw the prison doors were open. He drew out a sword. He was going to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out to him and said, no, don't harm yourself. We're all here. And the Bible says that that jailer called for a light, and he lit up the place, and he asked the question, what have I got to do to be saved? What, sirs, must I do that I can be saved? Paul then said unto him, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Not only you, but all your household can be saved. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together, and all were in the house. And he took them that very hour. Look at this. He took them, and he washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and his household. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you today that the voice of God is crying out to sinners like Lydia, like the Philippian jailer, and is saying, if you would believe, I would save you. I'll do for you what I did for Lydia and what I did for the jailer. God's voice is calling. He's calling. And he's saying, come to me, come to me, come to me. And you should come to Christ, believe on him, and then be baptized. I tell you today that God's not going to ignore your sin. You're a sinner. We all know that. I'm a sinner. We all know that. God doesn't ignore our sin, but he loves us while we are in our sin. Just like you are, God loves you. And his voice calls out to you and calls you by name and says, come to me and I will save you. He doesn't ignore your sin, but he loves you in your sin, and he will forgive you of your sin. Some of you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Oh, dear friend, it matters not what you've done. God's grace is deeper than your sin. I'm here to tell you that the depth of his love is deeper than your iniquity. And he would save you if you would but call on his name. And he says to you, come and follow me today. I want to stop right here in the first part of this sermon. I just want to stop You're sitting there in your place, wherever you are today, listening to us as we come here from Olive Baptist Church. I want you to pray with me. Friend, if you'll call on His name, the Bible says that if you call on His name, He would save you. And so I want to invite you just to stop. I know kids may be running around. It may be busy. But I want you just to pause and say, Pastor, I've never asked Jesus to save me. Today's the day. I want to do that. I want to ask Him to step into my soul and forgive my sin. You say, Preacher, would God... I'm here to tell you, God would really do it. He'd change your life just like He changed Lydia, like He changed that Philippian jailer, like He changed Paul, like He changed me, like He changed my father, like He changed my grandfather. Just before I came to church today, I got a phone call. It's a gentleman who was helping us on the food drive yesterday. He said, Pastor, you know, about 3 years ago I was in prison. And I called on Jesus and He saved me and said, I came to Olive and you folks put your arms around me. He was the catalyst for doing the food drive. He said, I just want to thank you one more time for pointing me to Jesus, for loving me and letting me be a part of the family of God. Let me tell you, friend, what God did for that young man, He'd do for you today if you'll call on His name. So I want to pray. And as I pray, you pray these words or some just like them. And just ask the Lord to step into your heart and save you. Pray with me. Just bow your head and pray right there where you are right now. Just pray these words or something like it. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I confess I'm a sinner. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my life, wash my sin, cleanse me and forgive me. And I give my life to you to follow you. And I do it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friend, if you've prayed that prayer today, I want you to let me know. You can write me a letter, you can send, but you could also go right there online with your text at 94,000 and text the word Savior to us. Our team wants to touch you and reach out to you and send you some material. So you write us, text us at 94,000, that word Savior. Let us know somehow. Send an email. Call the church this week. But just let us know that you've prayed to receive Christ. But the best way to do that is just online there with us right now. You're doing it. Many of you on your computer, you can click that. Some of you may watch this on television and you need to text or you need to email. However you might do that. But if you're online with us live today, you let us know. The call of God is in this place. He's reaching through that camera right to you today to save you if you would but call on His name. God calls sinners to salvation. I pray He's done that for you. Let me know that God saved you today. But there's a second call I want you to see. Not only does God call sinners to salvation, I'm here to tell you God calls preachers to preach. Yes, He does. God calls preachers to preach. There's some people sitting and listening to me today, and you are struggling because you know that you're saved and God's called you to ministry, but you've never answered the call of God. Now I want you to answer it today. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 6 and verse number 8, that old prophet said, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah, my first professor in college said it was like he was standing on his tiptoes and he was saying, don't leave me out. Here I am. Send me. The call of God today comes to preachers to preach, and you need to receive that call. Paul called in 2 Timothy 1, 8, and 9, he called it a holy calling. God's got that calling in your life today. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, "But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and had called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood." Now, he didn't ask men. He went straight to the Father and said, "Lord, here is my life." Now don't get confused. The call to preach is different from a call to repent. Some of you say, "Well, I've gotten away from God, so I've got to go." No, no, you preach when God calls you to preach. If you're away from God, you repent of your sin and come home to Him. It's different than the call to lordship. Some people say, well, I just want to crown Him king. Does that mean? No, friend, when God speaks to you to call you to preach, you'll know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can do no other. This is not the call to repentance or lordship or service. This is the call to ministry. And God's calling His people today. And some of you been running from that for a long time. You say, Pastor, God's put His finger on my heart today. I hear Him and He's saying to me, today is that day. And you just need to say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. My goodness, I was a 17-year-old boy. Never forget it. I couldn't run from it. I tried to run from it. I wanted to do something else. I often tell our people here, I just wanted to be a coach. I wanted to coach basketball. That's what I was going to do with my life. And God said to me, I want you to lay down your whistle and pick up your Bible. And so I did, and I jokingly tell our people I've been coaching ever since. As we come together and take the church where it needs to go. But dear friend, God calls preachers to preach, and there's somebody. I've prayed over this week, and I'm telling you, it's just odd to do this on an online service, but I'm telling you, there's some people sitting there today. God's dealing with you about the call to ministry, the call to missions, a call to be involved in vocational service, and you need to let us know. Send us a note. Say, preacher, God's called me. But it's not even important I know. It's just that God knows, and He'll set you where you need to be. If you're a part of our church, we want to help you and lead you and train you and equip you to do what God has called you to do. I'm here to tell you, God calls sinners to salvation. He calls preachers to preach. Thirdly, I want you to know, God calls churches to open. He calls churches to open. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, we find that old text that many of us know, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and he opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. This is the seventh of the seven churches of Revelation. Jesus is locked outside His own church. He stands at the door and He's knocking. We use this often to try to lead people to Christ, but this is not a verse for the lost. This is a verse for the Christian that has said to Jesus outside, And friend, what God's doing today, He's calling churches to open. I don't mean He's calling us to open these buildings, though He is, and we're going to do that in these next days. In a couple of weeks, we'll be right back in here, and that's going to happen. But I'm not talking about the physical church building. I'm talking about the door of your heart, the door of the people of God. We are to open the door, and we are to return to Him, as Joel said in Joel chapter 2 and verse number 12, you should return to God with all of your heart. God stands outside of people's lives today, and He's knocking, and He's knocking. He said, if any man will hear my voice, he that's got ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus is saying, I want to come in, and I want to come in not just to the front room of your life. I want to come into every room of your life. He's not looking just to come in the living room. He wants to come into the bedroom, the kitchen, the den, the recreational area. He wants, dear friend, He wants every room. You could not, you should not, you dare not hide any room in your life of the church of the living God from the owner of the church, who is Christ. Open the doors, fling the doors open and say, Lord, come in, come in, come in. Return to God with all of your heart. The church needs to open the doors. We're all thinking about that. Everybody's saying, when's the church going to reopen? When is it going to? Well, let me tell you, the church's not closed. We're doing ministry. We'll do it tonight. This coming Thursday with the National Day of Prayer. Yesterday, giving out all of that food that we did. These ladies with the man. The church is still gathering and praying and sharing. But there's some in the church that you've closed up your heart. During these days, there needs to be a reopening of your life. I had a lady call. She sent me a text this week, said, Pastor, I've had more time while I've been off of my job or working at home. I've had more time to read the Bible than I ever have had in my life. She said, it's been amazing what the Word of God has done in my life as I've just read again and again. Dear friend, we need to slow down. I think this pandemic could be a great blessing to us if we slow down and just get with God and open the doors of the church. The voice of God. He calls sinners to salvation. He calls preachers to preach. He calls churches to open. And then, number four, God calls Christians to follow and obey. Oh, yes. He calls Christians to follow and obey. There's a verse over in the Old Testament, Isaiah 30 and verse number 21, that is such a powerful word in my own life. I use it over and over, where Isaiah said, your ears will hear a word behind you. That voice is going to say, this is the way. Walk in it, wherever you turn, to the right or to the left. This is the way you are to walk. This is the way you should go. We pray, Lord, when should we reopen this building? I'm listening for a voice behind me to say, this is the time. Walk in it. Some of you say, well, I'm thinking about, should I have a job change? And God says, this is the way. Walk in it. Some of you contemplating getting married, but you better memorize Isaiah 30, 21. Don't you dare walk in to marriage unless you've heard from the Lord to say, this is the way. Walk in it. We call staff members to come be on our team. We pray through and say, God, is this your will? We don't look at people that are not qualified or not good, but you've got to choose between good and God's choice. And so you begin to say, oh God, what do we do? And the Spirit of God speaks into your life. Now don't miss this. God is able, listen to me now, God is able to speak loud enough to make a willing soul hear. Did you hear me? Listen to me one more time. God is able to speak loud enough to make a willing soul hear. Friend, if you want to hear God, you can hear God. Yes, sir. If you've got ears to hear, God will speak into your soul. I will never forget it. Dr. Roy Fish was my evangelism professor. Matter of fact, my wife worked for him during seminary days. And I was walking through in my second year of school, one of the hardest times of my life. I didn't know if I was ever going to get out. I was just struggling. It's hard. And I remember going to Dr. Fish one day, and I sat down and I said, Dr. Fish, I can't hear the Lord. I just don't know. I'll never forget it. He looked at me and he said, Ted, he said, for all of us, there are days when the heavens are like brass and the Bible is like a stone. You can't get anything from heaven. The Word of God just doesn't seem to come alive like it used to. He said, in those days when the heavens are like brass and the Bible is like stone, if you will have ears to hear and wait patiently on God, He has promised never to leave you or forsake you. And if you will have ears to hear, He promises He will speak to you. Wow. I went out of there that day and I said, Lord, I just want to have ears to hear. And I'm here to tell you that God is able to speak loud enough to make a willing soul hear. If you're willing to hear God, He'll speak into your life. Now, how does God do that? Well, He never speaks in contradiction to the Bible. He always speaks in concert with the Word of God. God will never tell you anything contrary to the Scriptures. I had a lady come to me one time, my first church out of Texas, out of seminary, and she said, well, Pastor, I know it's kind of unusual, but I'm married to this guy, and so we've been doing fine, but I want to go to the mission field, and he doesn't much think we ought to go. And she said to me, so God told me that I'm supposed to divorce my husband and go to the mission field. I looked at her, and I said, God didn't tell you that.
because he wouldn't tell you anything contrary to his word. Now, she didn't like it, but I'm not in this business to make you like it. I'm in this business to try to lift up truth into your life. And I told her that she would miss God, she was away from God, she was foolish, that something else in her own mind had told. I'm telling you, friend, when God speaks, and he will speak, but he'll never speak contrary to the word of God. And don't you know, every person's unique. He doesn't speak to Brother John like he speaks to me. He doesn't speak to me like he speaks to Brother John. We're all unique. God speaks to us. When you read the word of God, you'll find that all of the people Jesus dealt with, he dealt with the woman at the well one way. He dealt with Nicodemus another way. He dealt with Peter a certain way. See, God loves you, and God will speak to you. You can learn from other people, but God doesn't always do it the same way with every person every time. As a matter of fact, in my life, I've learned that God doesn't even do it the same way with me every time. Just because God dealt with me a certain way in 1995 does not mean he's going to deal with me that way in 2020. Because I'm a different person, and God is unique. You don't put God in a box. You don't follow God by laws and rules and regulations. He's Christians. God's calling you to follow and to obey. I want to tell you one way God speaks to you is out of Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. These two verses haunt me sometimes. Where the psalmist says, God speaking, God says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way which you should go. Amen. And I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule. Well, we got a lot of Baptists that do that. You're like a horse or a mule, have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they'll not come near you. God says, I don't put a bit and a bridle in you. He said, I guide you. Look back there at verse 8. He said, I guide you with my eye. My mother guides me with her eye. My mother used to sit up in the choir loft, our little church in Pisgah. I sit on the back row. We'd get to fiddling around in the back. Mother would be sitting there, and I'd look up, my eye'd hit her. She didn't have to say a word. She was guiding me with her eye. She's telling me, as soon as I get you home, I'm going to tear you up, boy. That's what I'm going to do. I guarantee you, just with her eye, she just with that look. And then there are other times that I'd be broken and look, and mother would look at me and wouldn't have to say a word. And that eye would say to me, son, I love you with all my heart. She'd never have to speak a word. Let me tell you, when you look into the eye of the Lord through the word of God, God will guide you. He will instruct you in the way you should go. And what he's calling you to do today is to follow him and obey him, make him Lord of your life, quit playing a game with church, get serious with the Lord Jesus. If he's going to take you to heaven, he can take you across the street. You should follow him and obey him every step of the way. You go with him. The year was 1860. D.L. Moody was preaching a revival in Brockton, Massachusetts. And they were having a revival meeting, and Brother John Dan Towner was leading the music in that revival. And Dan said he sat up on the platform while Moody was preaching, and in the middle of the meeting, he stopped and he said, anybody got a word of testimony? And people began to pop up and pop up and pop up. Give a word, give a word, give a word. And a young man stood up. And Dan Towner said he heard the words and he reached over and got a pen. And he said on a piece of paper, he scrawled down the words that this young man said there in 1860 in Brockton, Massachusetts. That young man, we don't know who he is. He just stood up and said, I'm not quite sure how I will do it. But I'm going to trust, and I'm going to obey. Dan Towner said he wrote down those words, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do it, but I am going to trust, and I am going to obey. Later, in a few weeks, he handed that note to Pastor J.H. Sammis, a Presbyterian preacher in Massachusetts. And Sammis took those words, and he began to pray over them, and he wrote that song, When We Walk with the Lord. Amen. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, amen, in the light of His Word, that's it. We don't walk in the light of anything else than what God says. And He leads us, and we trust, and we obey. God's calling some Christians listening to me today to get serious, to come to the Lordship of Christ. When this group comes to sing in just a moment to finish up this service, you need to get on your knees right there in your home. You need to cry out and say, "Oh God, I've been away from You. I'm coming home today. And Lord, whatever You want me to do, I will do it." You avail yourself to God. The voice of God, hallelujah, amen. It's upon the waters. It's like thunder. It's powerful. It's majestic, David said. Oh, the voice of God. We're going to hear the voice of God one of these days. When you read over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, you come to the fourth chapter. Glory to God. I'm just going to turn over here and read it to you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we begin to read and we hear this. Everybody's going to hear this. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a what? With a shout. With a what? The voice of the archangel. And with a what? The trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Dear friend, God's speaking today, and you should obey Him. But let me tell you this, if you don't, there's coming a day when you will understand the voice of God. The voice of God is going to come and say to His children, "Get up, get up, get up." And He's going to have the dead in Christ that have been buried. They'll rise first, and then all we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. He's coming in great glory. The Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven. He's coming with His shout and with a voice like an archangel. Going to blow a trumpet. And the dead in Christ going to rise. You ought to get used to that voice. You're hearing it now. You're going to hear it like you've never heard it before when He comes a second time. We ought to get busy. Get busy. Get busy following and obeying our Master until He comes again. Blessed Lord Jesus, what a voice. Back over in that 29th chapter, the last word I read, it said, "The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve, strips the forest bare, and in His temple, everything says, glory, glory." All the angels, when they hear the voice of God, they sing, glory. And when the people of God hear the voice of God, they should say, glory, giving honor unto the King of Kings. You give Him glory in your life today. If you've prayed and asked Christ to save you, let me know about it today. Send me a message about that. If you're coming home to the Lord, let us know. If you want to join Olive Baptist Church, then send us a note. We'll help you. I had a lady this week wrote me. She doesn't even live in our region. She's been watching online. That sweet lady wrote me, sent a tithe check and said, "I want to join your church. I'm not able to get out and I want to be a part." She wrote me. I sent her back a membership card this week. We'll follow up with her. We'd follow up with you. Just let us know if you'd like to be a part of this dear family that we call Olive. You can make that decision. This group's coming to sing right now. And while they're getting ready and they're going to sing and give praise unto the Lord, while they sing this last song, then you make your commitment to the Lord Jesus. Just if your soul longs and your heart's ready to sing unto the King that's above all kings, holler glory, glory, glory unto God. Hey, I love you guys. Thank God for you. You're doing a great job. I want you to lead us. And while they sing, I want you to do business with the God whose voice is speaking to us today. Let's sing, John, and give praise unto the Father.
My soul
heart sings for you, O God, King above all kings. How lovely is your dwelling place, the only one worthy of all praise. Just to be for all my days, just to be with you and know your heart is all I want. One thing I ask, one thing I seek is to look on your face, sit at your feet. I will lay down my crowns, lift up my hands and worship. Worship. One thing I ask, one thing I seek is to look on your face, sit at your feet. I will lay down my crowns, lift up my head and worship. Worship. Just to be
Olive family, thank you so much for joining us for the post-sermon discussion. I'm so excited to hear Pastor preach today, the voice of the Lord, and the voice of the Lord has spoken. I'm so excited also to have my good friends, Mr. Johnny Newton and Mr. Jerry Woodyard, join us today. These are solid deacons of our church and known to be prayer warriors. I cannot tell you how important it is to turn our eyes on prayer today. You know that the National Day of Prayer is coming up upon us, May 7th, and we're going to be here at Olive Baptist Church, all in our sports fields from 10 to 2, to seek the name of the Lord. Mr. Newton, I know you're a man of prayer. Encourage us today. How can we be trusting God in these times?
First of all, the greatest wonderful gift that God has ever given each one of us is the honor and the privilege of prayer.
Thank you so much for joining us today. How important it is for us to be on our knees, brother.
It is very important. I think the good Lord is trying to speak to our hearts.
Amen.
And get our attention. And we Christians, see, when we invited the Lord within our hearts, He lives right here in this church.
Amen.
Right here.
Amen.
And when we, the Bible says, pray without ceasing.
Yes.
We've got so many people. This week we lost two of our members, our church. And we've got to pray that God would comfort their hearts.
Yes.
And
Amen.
We need revival in our land today.
Amen.
And I think the Lord is getting our attention sometimes.
Amen.
I know a lot of people don't think about this, but maybe He wants us, instead of looking down, He said, set your affections on things
Amen.
Above.
Amen.
And look on Jesus Christ, because one day He's coming and we're going to be ready for Him if we know Him
Amen.
As our
Amen.
Lord and Savior.
Amen. I'm just so excited to sit with these two humble, humble giants of our church. Mr. Newton, we were talking about your testimony and how you came to faith in Christ in 1981, was it, that you decided to follow Jesus?
Mm-hmm. February 26, 1981, me and my wife and daughter all got saved at the same time.
And for ever since, you had the access to God the Father through prayer, and God has blessed you and your family so much.
Oh, I tell you, the peace and the joy that He brings to our hearts every day, and the family He's given me, I have so many blessings. I'm a blessed man. I tell you, I'm really... sometimes realize I don't deserve this, but I'm saying the Lord has just blessed me tremendously. And everyone in our family is saved. We're all going to go to heaven.
Amen.
And I just want to thank the Lord for what He's...
And that's a result of prayer.
That's exactly right.
And God answers prayer and with family members to be saved. Because Pastor talks about that God calls sinners to salvation. And we need to be praying for our one and sharing the good news of Jesus.
My favorite verse in the Bible is Jeremiah 33:3. When the Lord says, He's speaking, says, call to me. He didn't say, go ask someone else.
Yes.
You can, but He says, call to me.
Amen.
Then He says, I will answer you. And then He says, I will show you great and mighty things that you have never seen before. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can live on that Bible verse. I've framed it. It's over our bed. I've had it for about 20 years now. Amen. Over our bed. And it reminds me every day.
Amen.
And it's just... I'm so burdened about people that claim the name of Jesus that doesn't even call His name all day long and thank Him and praise Him. And this sometimes, one of the hardest prayers to pray is that don't ask for anything. Just thank the Lord one after another, all the many blessings that He's doing for you and doing for your family.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I'm not asking a thing, but I just want to just thank You and praise You for who You are and what You're doing in my life.
Thank You. Thank you. Thank Mr. Jerry Wood, I know you, solid amen. Have you been, when Pastor is preaching and we're watching all in the homes, are you still giving a loud amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love to hear that.
Well,
amen.
We got to back our pastor up.
Yes.
And our pastor is a great Bible
amen.
Preacher and teacher.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something, he gets me excited. And when he preaches the Word of God, I want to say, Pastor, just keep on.
That's right.
Amen.
Because this is what that world needs, is to hear the gospel and the scriptures that comes out of this precious Bible right here.
Thank you, my brother. Well, Mr. Newton, Mr. Wood, thank you so much for joining us. You're going to join us. Join us on May 7th from 10 to 2 as we come and cover up the sports fields. We have tents set up, so you'll be all spread out. Let us call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
May 7th on Thursday from 10 to 2. You come, Chef Bob is going to be cooking some hot dogs and hamburgers. You can grab, just purchase a quick lunch on your way out.
Amen.
But let's seek the face of the Lord. Thank you, men. Thank you for being men of prayer. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.